Hello everyone, it's good to have you listening in to this podcast act of worship this week. If you don't know me, I'm Dave Milner, one of the leaders in the Penrith Methodist Group of Churches. Here's an opening song today. I used it at the end of the last podcast I produced a fortnight ago, and a number of people said how much they had enjoyed it. It's by husband and wife Caleb and Kelsey Grimm, and it's their version of Your Grace is Enough melted into Amazing Grace. It contains the line that God wrestles with the sinner's heart. And it's that idea of wrestling with God that we'll be focusing on in our worship today. So here's Caleb and Kelsey Grimm.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Now here's Lois Morton, one of our local preachers or lay preachers in the circuit, to lead us in a time of prayer.
Let us pray. Lord God, your love has brought us here. We meet to offer to you our praise, our adoration and our thanks. Faithful God, so unchanging, you have always been present with your world. At the beginning, you created all things. Through all the years, you have sustained your people, and you are here now. In the midst of the turmoil of our world, you are constant, sharing the lives of all and coming to us gathered virtually together. Our hearts overflow with praise for your goodness to us. May we never forget all that you have done, all that you are doing now, and all that you will continue to do in the coming days and weeks, months and years. As we thank you for all we receive, both in practical things and in our relationships with you. We are conscious that we often fall short of the calling you have on our lives. You have entrusted us with working for your kingdom here on earth, but it's so easy to let you down. We say and we do things that are not of you. We come now to ask for your forgiveness, remembering your arms of love held out on the cross to draw us to yourself. Thanks for your constant offer of renewal for all. May we go forward in the strength and power of your Holy Spirit, looking to him for guidance, for direction in all that we do. In this time of worship, may we open our minds and hearts to hear you speaking to us again. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We share in the Lord's Prayer in the modern version. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Lois. Now, here's our Bible story for today. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, and from verses 22 to the end of the chapter. It's read to us today by none other than David Suchet.
That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go, unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore to this day the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. Lord, bring me back to you. You're all I want. It's you, Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm afraid. You are my nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you, back to your arms, Lord.
One of the things that the lockdown has deprived us of this summer is the well-loved Cumbrian village shows and sports days, such as those at Skelton or Penrith, Grasmere or Lowther. Often in the afternoon in one of the rings there'll be a competition of Cumberland wrestling. It's great to see some of the men wearing, as is traditional, their underpants on the outside of their tights. Then they grasp hold of one another in a bear hug, and they twist and turn to throw one another to the ground. Perhaps you've seen it. It's all great fun. But I guess social distancing and the 2 metre rule all mean that the sport is strictly off limits this year, I'm afraid. It's all a long way from Saturday afternoons when I was a boy watching Dickie Davis on ITV's World of Sport. In those days, there were only 2 channels on the telly. So on BBC's Grandstand on a Saturday afternoon, you could watch the Rugby League with the Impressionists' favourite, Eddie Waring. No, I won't try it. But on ITV, it was the wrestling, usually from Walthamstow Baths or the Hackney Empire, with household names like Mick McManus, do you remember that? Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. I could never work out how much of it was real and how much was stage managed and carefully choreographed, like an intricate but rather less graceful ballet. Wrestling. In our Bible reading today, Jacob is travelling to meet up with his estranged twin brother Esau. Jacob, remember, has tricked his brother out of his rightful inheritance and blessing, but now he wants to be reconciled with him and to seek his forgiveness. Jacob by now is a rich man, and he wants to bless Esau by giving him a share of all the possessions that he himself has now been blessed with. But this particular night, on that journey back to see Esau, Jacob sends his family and his possessions on ahead of him. He stays in the valley bottom near the river Jabbok. And it's here, on his own, without the support and comfort of family and possessions, about to have to face up to the brother that he's cheated and wronged, here in the dark valley bottom, that he wrestles with God. Wrestling with God. I wonder, do you wrestle with God? I mean, do you wrestle with the whole idea of God? Is it possible to believe in the concept of a God at all in an age of science and rational thought? Do you struggle with the idea that there could be a God who is the reason why there's anything here at all? Do you wrestle with the thought that there could be a designer who set creation into motion? The Bible, it has to be said, doesn't really entertain the idea of there being no God at all, unsurprisingly. The fool says in his heart there is no God, the writer of the Psalms says. Or at least it's foolish to act as if our actions and behaviour don't have any consequences and ultimately are going to be ignored by God. However, what we do see through the Bible and the whole story of the Bible is men and women wrestling with God to find out more about him. What kind of a God is he? What's he like? How's he to be experienced? What words or metaphors can we use to try and describe him? In fact, it could be argued that the whole of the Bible is the record of how men and women have experienced God and tried to understand him at work. Take Abraham, for example. He struggles to understand who God is. When he thinks that God intends to wipe out a whole city, he tries to work it out. He says to God, in effect, "Are you the kind of God who would wipe out a whole city if there were still 50 innocent people in there? No. You don't kill innocent people. So how about if there were 45, or 40, or 30? How about only 20? Are you the kind of God who'd kill 10 innocent people?" And later he thinks that he hears God asking him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Is God like the other gods of the local tribes round about him? Would Abraham's God really want him to sacrifice his son? People discovering just who God really is. Moses, when he is confronted by God in the burning bush, has to ask, "Who are you? What name shall I call you by when people ask me?" And here in this story, Joshua has to ask the man that he's wrestling with, "What's your name?" Your name is more than just a convenient way for a postman to deliver your post. Your name is who you are. So when Moses and here when Jacob ask the question, "What's your name?" they're really asking, "Who are you?" Job is another person who grapples with God. "How can you allow innocent people like me to suffer in this way?" Job asks. The writer of the Psalms constantly questions God. "How long can all of this evil go on? Why don't you do something, God? Why don't you roll up your sleeves?" And yet, throughout the Psalms, we find the writer coming up with all sorts of images for God and metaphors. God's like a shepherd looking after the sheep. God's like a castle keeping his people in safety. He's like a rock on which lives can be built. But in the end, I have to confess that I know God is beyond any words that I can try to use to describe him. Is he really a shepherd? Well, he loves and cares for us, certainly, but he's going to be far more than that. Words are just going to fail us. He is infinite, and there aren't enough words in the Oxford English Dictionary to describe him. So I'm always going to struggle. It's always going to be a fight. For example, you might have noticed that I've been giving God the masculine personal pronoun, he, him, his. And I know that that won't do either, because God is beyond gender. Still, I do find it better than trying to use the very impersonal word it. Whatever God else God is, God isn't an it. And if Jesus can call God his Father, is probably good enough for me, even if I am aware of the limitations of all attempts to pin God down with language. And neither does this grappling with God, who are you, mean that I can just pick and choose and create the kind of God that I'd want God to be, all smiley and soft and cuddly and kind and soft round the edges. I think I've grappled with God long enough to know that he won't be straitjacketed or made to conform to the images I'd like to pin on him. As one book on the bookshelf behind me puts it, your God is too small. God is always going to break out of any of the wrestling moves I try to pin him down with. But that doesn't mean that we should stop trying. Treasure the questions. This isn't the same as doubt. I never doubt that there is a God. I can't make sense of the fact of existence without a creator. But I do encourage each person, I do encourage you, to keep searching, to keep trying to get to know God better. Grapple with him and don't let him go. And in the end, who is this God? What is he like? How are we going to try and describe him? The writer of the book to the Hebrews says this about Jesus, that he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In other words, Jesus is the mirror image of God. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. In fact, Jesus says to Philip, one of his disciples, Philip, if you've seen me, then you've seen my Father. That means that any words I try and pin on God to describe him have also got to fit with Jesus, and any description of God has to mirror Jesus, and Jesus mirror God. Wrestling with God, trying to understand him better. But there's a second way in which I wrestle with God. Mark Twain is supposed to have once said, it's not the bits of the Bible I don't understand that bother me, it's the bits I do understand. Sometimes the Bible cuts us to the bone. It questions us rather than the other way round. It questions us about the way in which we live our lives, the way we treat other people, the way we behave. It often shows me that I'm not quite as nice a guy as I'd like to think I am. And it challenges me to make a difference in the world and the society in which I live, to make a difference to the way in which I live my life, to forgive that person who has hurt me deeply. I wonder if that's what Jacob is grappling with here. Do I really have to meet my brother Esau? Do I really have to go and make it up to him? Do I really have to go and seek his forgiveness? And there are things sometimes that you know God is wanting you to do, but you resist. You fight against him. Sometimes in our meetings with the local lay preachers, the local preachers in this circuit, we get to hear about one another's call, how God led that person into becoming a preacher. Often the story involves how the person fought with God for so long. No, God, I can't do that. You can't ask me to do that. I'm not clever enough. I don't have the time for the training. I'm too young. I'm too shy. Yet the testimony often goes on that God's call wouldn't stop. He won't let go. Or perhaps there are things that you know God wants you to do, but you just feel that you don't have the strength or the courage or the imagination to make it happen. The trouble is, we can all be very creative in coming up with excuses as to why we will not do the very thing that God is wanting us to do. Excuses, 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 fighting against God. There are times then when God wants us to do things that we don't want to do, and we rebel, like when we were teenagers. Why did the teenager cross the road? His mum told him not to. But there are also times when God won't do what we want him to do. We come to God with our prayers, our shopping list of all the things that we'd really like, and sometimes God goes very quiet on us. We perhaps do have stories to tell of miracles and of answered prayers. Wonderful. But we probably also have stories to tell, if we're honest, of when God has said no. That's not right. Do you struggle with God? Do you want to tell God sometimes that he's got it all wrong, that he should do things your way? Sometimes what we want is for God to lift us out of our problems, the problems that we've got ourselves into, or to make it all right somehow, to calm the storm around us. But what God wants for us is to face the storm, knowing that he won't let go of us. We often seek the easy way out, and sometimes God won't let us. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to submit to God's will. Instead of saying to God, I'm going to do it my way, instead surrendering to him and saying, okay, I'll do it your way. I wonder if we're willing today to submit, to stop fighting, to surrender to God's will. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I, in my Saviour, am happy and blessed. Am I ready to say, I'll do it your way? Or rather, we'll do it together, your way, Lord. There's one last thing to say about this story of Jacob wrestling with God by the river Jabbok. Who grapples with whom exactly? And who actually started the fight? Who is refusing to let go of whom? And eventually, I wonder, who did actually let go first? In verse 25 of this passage, it says that the man, who turns out to be God, realizes that he can't overcome Jacob and break Jacob's grip on him. That's all a bit odd, isn't it? How come God, Almighty, all-powerful God, can't break Jacob's hold? Surely nothing's too difficult for God. Nothing's impossible for him. Well, as strange as it may seem, there are things that God cannot do. For instance, God cannot be not God. God can't do ever the wrong thing. He can't be evil. He can't be unloving. God can't break his promise. And because he's always loving, he's never going to override our own free will and our ability to make freely made choices and decisions. Jacob's decided. Jacob says he won't let go. He won't let go. And God won't go against that free choice that Jacob's made. He's not going to make Jacob let go and override Jacob's free decision to hold on. In my NIV, this passage is entitled, Jacob Wrestles with God. But you know what? I reckon it's God who wrestles with Jacob. What's your story, I wonder? Your testimony? Did God find you, or did you find God? Did you grab hold of Jesus, or did Jesus first grab hold of you? And if you are determined to hold on to him, know this, he will never ever let go of his hold on you. He will never let you go. God is a faithful, faithful God who will not let go of us while we are determined not to let go of him. I wonder, do you echo Jacob's words here? I won't let go until you've blessed me, Lord. Remember the image of the Cumberland wrestlers? They stand locked together in that stance with arms and hands locked behind each other's backs. Maybe that's the image of Jacob and God. Each one saying, I'm not going to let go of you. And maybe that's the image of each one of us with our God. Each of us saying to God, you know, I'm not letting go of you. And hearing God say back to us, and I will never let go of you. So go on. Don't be afraid to wrestle with God. Be determined to get to know him better. Who is he? Do you know? How do you experience him? How are you ever going to describe him? Are you willing to go his way? to do the things you know that he's asking you to do, no matter how difficult or uncomfortable those may be? Will you submit and surrender to his will and his way for you? And will you be determined never to let him go, knowing that in return, he is never, ever going to let go of you? Let's pray together. As a prayer today, I read some verses from one of Charles Wesley's great hymns. It's based quite closely around the passage in the Bible that we've looked at together today, Wrestling Jacob. Here Charles Wesley wrestles to know God better, to find out God's true name and true nature. Perhaps that's your desire and your prayer today too. So let's pray. Come, O thou traveller unknown, whom still I hold but cannot see. My company before is gone, and I am left alone with thee. With thee all night I mean to stay, and wrestle till the break of day. I need not tell thee who I am, my misery and sin declare. Thyself hast called me by my name, look on thy hands and read it there. But who, I ask thee, who art thou? Tell me thy name, and let me know. In vain thou strugglest to get free, I never will unloose my hold. Art thou the man that died for me? The secret of thy love unfold. Wrestling I will not let thee go, till I thy name, thy nature know. Wilt thou not yet to me reveal thy new unutterable name? Tell me, I still beseech thee, tell. To know it now resolved I am. Wrestling, I will not let thee go, till I thy name, thy nature know. What though my shrinking flesh complain and murmur to contend so long? I rise superior to my pain. When I am weak, then I am strong. And when my all of strength shall fail, I shall with the God-man prevail. Yield to me now, for I am weak, but confident in self-despair. Speak to my heart, in blessings speak. Be conquered by my instant prayer. Speak, or thou never hence shalt move, and tell me if thy name is love. 'Tis love, 'tis love, thou diest for me. I hear thy whisper in my heart. The morning breaks, the shadows flee. Pure universal love thou art. To me, to all, thy mercies move. Thy nature and thy name is love.
All right, you've had your chance to rest. Now it's time to get back up out of your seats. Many of us sang this one growing up in church, so y'all sing along.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The world of voices of glory divine. Build of salvation, purchase of God.
This is my story.
This is my story. Yeah. This is my song.
Praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior. For all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my
is my story.
Day by day, dear Lord, of Thee three things I pray. To see Thee more clearly, to love Thee more dearly, to follow Thee more nearly, day by day. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us, now and evermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us in this act of worship, and I hope it's not too long before we can meet together once again.